Agenda Paper 16 is about the applicability of the amendment to IFRS 7 to condense interim financial statements. The issue is whether the new offsetting disclosure required by the amendments should be included in every set of condensed interim financial statements or only when IAS 34 requires these disclosures. In its March meeting, the committee noted that the current wording of paragraph 44R of IFRS 7 has the potential to lead to diversity in practice and asked the staff to consult the ISB in order to determine what the ISB intention was. In April, the ISB tentatively decided that after the first year of application of the amendments to IFRS 7, the offsetting disclosure should be given when required by IAS 34. We didn't ask the ISB to express its view on the first year of application of the amendments, because in our view it is too late to clarify whether this disclosure should be given in condensed interim financial statement issued in 2013. We are aware that some companies have already included the offsetting disclosure in their interim reports, and other companies have not included these disclosures. Consequently, we think that the committee should recommend the ISB to amend paragraph 44R of IFRS 7 through annual improvements, in order to clarify that after the first application of the amendment to IFRS 7, the offsetting disclosure should be given in condensed interim financial statements when required by IAS 34. We ask the committee member if they agree with our recommendation and if they have any comments on the wording of our proposed amendment in Appendix A of the paper. Thank you.
Patricia, I think you had a strong view on this, so let me bring you in first.
Yeah, I'm undecided on this. I absolutely agree with the proposed staff amendment to 44R based on the board decision, but I disagree with the staff that it's too late to fix what happens in 2013. In particular, I think the wording in the draft basis for conclusions might actually make things worse. And let me try to explain what I'm saying. You could read what's being said in the draft basis of conclusions that the board clarified what happens after 2013, that only 34 applies, to imply that the board meant in 2013 they should provide these disclosures. So if we don't fix that, we're leaving companies who didn't provide those disclosures in their interims so far in 2013 at risk, I believe, for disciplinary proceedings from their regulators. And in my view, this, when the board wrote 44R, it either meant that always you just applied IAS 34, or it meant always you provide that disclosure, because it didn't have two different rules. It says in the subsequent periods. So in my view, I think what we need to do is somehow extend the board's decision on what it meant post-2013 to 2013, because I don't think it's right to leave companies who were clearly asking, what does this mean, should we disclose, who then didn't disclose, at risk for disciplinary proceedings. That's my view.
Okay. Andrew?
I share Patricia's concern. I think it's appropriate to amend 44R to eliminate the confusion, but we're putting back some of that confusion in the drafting, particularly of BC2, BC3. So if we can, let's clarify that if you applied IAS 34 to your condensed interims in 2013 and didn't make these disclosures, having taken account of the normal principle-based judgments you make in applying IAS 34, then that's not an error. I think BC3 also is a little bit kind of grudging and seems to be saying, well, on the one hand, IAS 34 governs the contents of condensed interim financial statements, but then quite a lot of language, words like misleading, which seem to be trying to push companies extra hard on these particular disclosures, above and beyond all the other disclosures elsewhere in IFRS, to include them, and I'm not quite sure that's appropriate. So can we just say IAS 34 is the relevant standard and apply the normal judgments you would in applying IAS 34?
All right.
I am supportive of the staff proposal, but in my limited outreach to prepare for this meeting, I have received comment. Can this amendment be faster than through the annual process? Because they look at and see that, so this would be going into the annual improvement process 2012-2014, which means that the final standard will not be published before the end of, say, 2014, so which means that it will be effective in 2050. So a suggestion that has been made to me, whereas it's a live issue, and people would like to have something faster about clarification that is being provided. So a suggestion has been made to me whether a separate amendment could be done by the ISB now, so as to capture the final amendment after the exposure period through the final publication of the annual improvement, the next batch. That is to shorten, by publishing it now, collect comments pretty quickly so that it can be finalized, say, a year earlier compared to what is currently planned.
The next batch is due to be exposed, a published exposure draft in Q4 of this year. So this would be feeding into the next available batch. I would sort of think hard about whether this deserved fast-track priority when the last issue we just talked about relating to discount rates didn't deserve fast-track priority. I don't see that personally, that this would be more urgent than the last one we just talked about.
Just forwarding some feedback and receiving some jurisdictions which are not European jurisdictions for one.
Philippe?
It's about providing relief. And maybe providing relief from an obligation which we think is not necessary, might have more priority than other projects, no?
Yeah, I would observe with belief that we have other examples where the problem was one of our making, and we've said that deserves to be fast-tracked. We need to clean up problems of our own making faster than we would otherwise. So, points taken. Scott?
I agree with the staff's analysis that this should not be required on an ongoing basis in interims. I would have just done it with an agenda decision. There is no language in IAS 34 that says it's required, so I wouldn't have thought it could possibly be required on an ongoing basis. To me, the only thing that might warrant a change to the standard is if we wanted to clarify 2013. And frankly, given the timing, I don't think there is time to do that except in an agenda decision. So frankly, I would try to write an agenda decision that says we didn't put it in 34 because we didn't mean that it should apply on an ongoing basis. The committee observed that the wording with respect to this year, 2013, is confusing. And observe that this is a reasonable solution to it, whatever that might be.
Okay. Joanna.
First of all, Scott's point, I empathize with that. The difficulty is, I think, with the current words in 44R that say and interim periods within those annual periods, because if somebody comes along in 2 years' time and wants to start applying these and reads that, would would still be confused, i.e. it's not just the first time. So I do think we have to fix 44R. Now, I'm wondering whether we actually can do both, so do an agenda decision, and then later on, so we don't have to fast-track 44R, do 44R as just part of annual improvement, so we just strike through that bit. But we do an agenda decision to get the fast-track and Patricia's issue, if you like, out there in terms of dealing with that, because I do empathise too with what Patricia has said in terms of we don't want regulators to come along and say you haven't complied. I also, as the final thing, agree with Andrew that I think that VC3, the latter part of VC3, is too heavy, far too heavy. It is simply that, hey, go to IS34. That's what tells you what you have to disclose. End of story, would be to me, as opposed to all this, do it, do it, do it. So, yeah.
Tricia?
Oh, I think one way that only came to me a while ago that we could interpret the words in the original 44R is that what the board always meant was that you apply IAS 34 as written in the interim periods within those annual periods. And it would be unusual for them to have put that into a note, but this was a joint thing with the FASB, and we had identical wording, pretty much identical wording for everything we did in the disclosure part amendment to our IFRS 7, and I don't know what they were amending, but their transition paragraph read very similarly, but they amended their interim reporting standard. We didn't, which says to me the board intended those words to mean apply IAS 34 in the first period and interim periods thereafter.
And I would just add to that that when the IAS 34 triggers the disclosure, then I would read this 44R as saying that when the disclosure is triggered by 34, you apply or you give the IFRS 7 disclosures. So in other words, it's explaining which disclosures to give.
Right. If you are in June 2013 and something in IAS 34 triggers the disclosures that are addressed here, you do these disclosures, not the previously existing disclosures.
Andrew, and then I'm going to ask Sandy for her view.
I just hesitated over what you just said, Michael. You're saying IAS 34 is an on-off switch, give these disclosures or don't give these disclosures. I'd have thought the natural outcome of applying the judgment would often be you give some subset of the disclosures you'd give in the full year financial statements, given that they're intended to be an update in the interims.
I read it a different way.
Right.
Sandy?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. To me, I think it was clear that it was supposed to be included in the interim financial statements thereafter. You know, to me, this was a debate between two different presentation choices, net or gross. FASB chose net. The ISB chose gross and put the disclosure in to give the other presentation choice. And now we're suffering from, you know, disclosure's not a substitute for good presentation. And so it's coming out. I guess to me, the disclosure of gross, as we commented in our comment letter, was that it was very important to understanding the overall risks and the like of the organization, but credit risk was important. And now we're sort of saying, well, you decide. And every quarter based on whether you think it's material, but at year end, it is. And I think credit risk is material at every quarter. So, you know, me personally, I don't agree with how this is being interpreted. I think it was pretty clear. I just find it difficult at this moment to say that credit risk isn't an important disclosure.
Andrew, did you want to come back in? Or?
I understand the mechanical issues, but I think we're the mechanics of the how the standards work together are winning over the substance of what the disclosure is that's needed.
Okay.
For investors.
Well, my sense of the other comments and reading the body language around the room is not Sandy's view. Now the question is, and this is going to sound more pejorative than I mean it to be, but Patricia has highlighted the need for a get-out-of-jail-free card. That we need to do something for people who, in good conscience, applied the standard one way, given that we've reached the conclusion that it was unclear. The question is whether or not that can be done, as Scott suggests, through an agenda decision. And if it can be done through an agenda decision, I don't know why we'd then go back and also do an annual improvement. And like one ought to be enough. Or whether it needs an amendment along the lines that the staff recommends. Based on the vote on that, then we'll ask about whether or not we think it should be fast-tracked, because Laurent's raises a valid point. So, first choice, agenda decision. Who would handle this through an agenda decision? Only. One. Okay. Then I assume everybody else believes that something along the line of the proposed amendment is required. Am I correct in that? Joanna?
Sorry, I probably haven't listened properly. Yes, I do support the proposed amendment, but together with an agenda decision, and maybe you didn't consider that. I want to do both.
Does it work from a procedural perspective?
Well, I guess, what would the agenda decision say?
I think the agenda decision would say what Patricia has, that effectively, you're exactly what Scott said, that it would say that you've got your get-out-of-jail-free card. Well, first of all, that IS 34 is where you need to revert to, and you need to do it as and when 34 says. And because it was confusing, we acknowledge that it was confusing, and Scott had the right words, I can't remember them exactly, but it's your get-out-of-jail card free. But then coming back to my point there, I felt that we still needed to amend the standard because of the future.
It seems to me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that if we went with the staff recommendation, that's what update would read, that we recognize this uncertainty, we recognize the need to correct it, and to correct it, we believe an amendment is necessary. Okay, so
and this would be a clarifying annual improvement.
Yes, yeah. Well, and we would highlight it in the update.
Yeah.
People would know.
Okay, now, so we're going to propose that the board do an amendment. I'd like a show of hands for those believe that this who would favor, excuse me, not believe, would favor tracking this outside of annual improvements. So it would be comparable to the amendment we did a while back on government loans, where there was a bust because the transition didn't include IFRS 1. So we said that's too important to do annual improvements. We'll track it outside of that. So how many would favor telling the board that this needs to be tracked outside of, and implies faster than, annual improvements? Show of hands. Four. Okay, that's not enough. So, John?
If the decision is clear that what these words meant is 34 is the recognition of the disclosure, just go there. If you have to recognize, then you go to 7 and you disclose in 7. If it's clear, I'm not sure we need to fast track that, because it would be clear that what we mean and the interpretation that everybody should agree to, then you go with a, you say, nevertheless, we think it's, the wording are poorly chosen, and we're going to propose that into an annual improvement. I think it would work.
I think we may be over-engineering this, but Patricia?
My concern with going with the staff proposal as it is that, as the basis states, the board said for periods after 2013, it means that IAS 34 applies. And that was the board decision. So what does that mean for 2013?
And
if you're a company that provided this disclosure in the interims in 2013, doesn't matter, right? But if you're a company that didn't provide it, it matters a lot. And I don't know what the universe is out there.
And my sense was, and if I didn't make this clear, I apologize. My sense was that the committee agreed with that.
It didn't seem to me that way, since they didn't seem to think we needed to do an agenda decision and we didn't need to backtrack this. So I had the impression that they did
Okay, my sense was in my exchange with Joanna that we would make that clear in the agenda decision, but that we thought as an implementing measure, we also needed to have an amendment to the standard. Not necessarily to deal with the 2013, but what happens when Antarctica comes in 2 years from now and applies this for the first time. So I think we're getting there.
And we will, of course, as with any annual improvements, we would take it to the board again. I know we've already been to the board, but we need to bring this proposal to the board for their agreement so we can seek that confirmation from the board at that stage.
Okay. Anything more you need on this one?
No.
No.
Good. Anybody keeping track of Leo's average time? The standard deviation is pretty wide, I think.